This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Michigan lobbyists spent more than $37 million last year trying to influence state lawmakers. The Michigan Campaign Finance Network says that number is up from 2013, but not all of the reports are in, and the numbers for 2014 could yet exceed the record amount spent by lobbyists in 2012. Rich Robinson is director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. Rich Robinson, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Gordon. Good to be with you.
What do these lobbyists actually spend the money on?
Well, it's a variety of things. Mostly, it's paying salaries of the lobbyists themselves, the advocates for the various interest groups or whomever is conducting the advocacy. There are other categories of spending that are reported. One talks about direct mail, and presumably that should include television advertising as well, if it's meant to conduct some kind of grassroots advocacy. But there's very little ever reported in that category. And then there's another category that's all about hospitality of various sorts, food and beverage hospitality that's really quite routine around Lansing and elsewhere. And then there are travel and accommodations provided. So those categories, the lobbyists report, took up about $750,000 all told. But what is itemized, reporting a beneficiary, is a small fraction of that amount.
If we look at the top spenders on this list that you've put together, it's not readily apparent to the layman who they are actually spending money on behalf of. If we look at this list, Michigan Health and Hospital Association, okay, they're interested in health care. The Michigan Education Association is the state's largest teachers union. But a lot of these other lobbyists are what we call multi-client firms. So is it hard to get at exactly what the money is being spent on or what issues they're trying to influence?
I think it's next to impossible to get to it, Gordon. The requirement is that the multi-client shops, and they're professional lobbyists, they advocate on behalf of whomever needs advocate services. They report their overall spending total, and they're required to have on file with the state a list of their active clients, but they don't report how much they spend representing each of those clients, and they are not required to report what bill or budget or regulation they're advocating about. So in a sense, I mean, I almost feel guilty in publishing this list because it seems like it's cheap advertising for the top multi-client firms. You know, they can claim we're number one on the list as far as how much is spent, but it doesn't really reveal much at all to the citizens as far as who's driving the policy agenda, how they're going about doing it. It's a very unsatisfying thing that we have this outline of what's being done, but we don't know the details at all.
People who have heard you on our radio station previously know that one of the causes you've really pushed is more frequent reporting of campaign expenditures as well as campaign contributions. What are the reporting requirements for lobbying firms or lobbying groups? How often do they have to report what they're spending?
They report just twice a year, and the two reports don't divide the year evenly. The first report covers the first 7 months of the year, so books close on July 31st, and then the report is filed or due with the state of Michigan by September 1st. So conveniently, all the lobbying activity that's occurred in the first 7 months of the year is not reported until after the primary election. So if citizens were inclined to connect their vote with responsiveness to lobbying activity, they're deprived of the opportunity to make those connections. Then the second report covers the last 5 months of the year. It was due on February 1st. I held off on releasing this report until this week because so many groups are late getting these reports in, and and the Department of State has to get them all online. And there's still a number of significant groups or corporations or associations, whomever, who haven't got their second report of the year filed yet. So as you noted in the intro, this number of overall spending for the year will go up, certainly.
Let's talk about food and drink for a moment here. How concerned should we be that a state representative, a state senator, gets dinner bought for them by a lobbyist, something that they might, say, normally spend $20, $25 on?
Well, it's a form of persuasion. And we should certainly know about all instances of this persuasion. It's a form of welfare, honestly, for those who are in town. Unlike their constituents who manage their paycheck to pay for their entertainment and their dining, legislators are the beneficiaries of this kind of largesse from lobbyists, and they don't do it because they like the cut of the legislator's jib. They do it to exercise persuasion. And one of the arguments I've made in this is that there's a reporting threshold. Unless a lobbyist spends at least $58 in a month or at least $350 in a calendar year on food and beverage for an individual legislator or public official, they don't have to report the beneficiary. So what I've been able to report here in terms of the individual beneficiaries is absolutely a lowball number. All we know are those who have exceeded that reporting threshold, and there's a lot more that goes unreported. As I mentioned earlier in our conversation, the lobbyists report they spent about $750,000 on food, beverage, travel. Well, you can only identify beneficiaries for about $213,000 of that amount. So less than a third of what was spent on providing this kind of hospitality can be connected to the individual who received the hospitality. And that doesn't allow us to know the whole picture about what kind of persuasion is being exercised.
But that money that's going unreported then, though, we can assume that it is probably many lawmakers who are coming in under that $58 a month or $350 for the year?
That's right. I think that's a lot of it. I think a lot of it is transportation and accommodations. The reporting threshold there is $750. So if an association invites a legislator to be their guest at one of the resorts in northern Michigan to talk to their association at their summer meeting and enjoy some hospitality there, that doesn't have to be reported at all. And that can turn into quite a lifestyle weekend. Again, the cumulative effect of this is, what is the nature of the relationship between lobbyists who are advocating on behalf of certain policies or budgets or whatever, and the legislators who will actually write the bills into law and pass the budgets and all of that sort of thing.
And you say take those reporting thresholds back to zero. If you spend anything, we should know about it.
Absolutely. You know, in the campaign finance realm, if someone gives a dollar to a candidate's campaign committee, that individual is reported. Well, why this double standard with these lobbying expenditures? And, you know, there's another element of this I didn't mention, and that is that it's illegal to give lobbyable officials a gift in the state of Michigan. But again, there's a threshold, $58. So anything that comes in less than $58 isn't a gift. So a lobbyist might take a lobbyable official to an MSU basketball game, for instance, or a show at the Wharton Center. And, you know, again, I go back to the point that these legislators' constituents are taking care of their entertainment desires by managing their paycheck. And I think that we should expect the same kind of conduct by our legislators.
The first campaign finance reports have been filed pertaining to the campaign for The proposal to increase the state sales tax, which is on the May 5th ballot, part of the whole package to boost road funding. And I say four because the against side really hasn't filed anything yet. What will we know come May 5th about who is spending for and against this proposal to boost the sales tax?
Well, we should have a pretty complete picture at that point. What we know right now is that the proponent side have raised $3.2 million. No surprise, the road builders industry, in the form of MITA, Michigan Infrastructure and Transportation Association, has put in the majority of that money, about $2.3 million. MITA used to be the road builders and underground contractors. They've merged into a single association. There will be additional campaign finance reports filed toward the end of April that should reveal what has been raised and spent by proponents and opponents of the proposal up to that point. And then from then until Election Day, any new money coming in should be reported as a late contribution report. Now, ballot campaigns like this, unlike candidate elections, it's open to corporate or union money, so there aren't any prohibitions along those lines as there are for candidate elections. But I think that there's really no reason that we shouldn't know everything about the sources of the money going into the ballot campaign.
Rich Robinson, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
Rich Robinson is the director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. Links with more information, longer versions of interviews, and past shows can be found at WMUK.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.